20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into the Thursday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. The Dream Team is back together again. We have been having some technical difficulties between my computer, Dusty hitting his microphone, and a little bit of everything. But it's going to be a fun one, guys. We are all back together. There will be some arguing. There will be some reminiscing of old Packers players. It's going to be good. We got Dusty. We got Sarah. We got Steve. Everybody's here. I do want to say, since it is now technically Wednesday, Thursday for us recording, but Dusty, happy Father's Day to you.
You as well. Thank you, Steve.
Sarah, Yay. did you guys have a good Father's Day as well?
Yeah, I was home, so it was nice to celebrate with my dad. We watched the soccer game because that was on that day, so it was fun.
All right, Dusty, we have not heard your personal opinion. Were you a big fan of the women's soccer team scoring 13 goals?
God, yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely.
My gosh, we all agreed on something.
Yeah, no, I was listening to you guys, and I wanted to weigh in on that. You know, I don't want to – we're not getting too deep into it now, of course, but we've talked about bat flips on the show before, Steve. We are pro bat flip.
Absolutely.
I was a big fan of all the celebrations. I was a big fan of the stunt on them, and I was a huge, huge fan of the next game, Carly Lloyd doing the polite golf clap.
I absolutely
floored me. Like, just a huge, huge fan. Huge. And I'm with you, Sarah. I've been on, I play church league softball, and we used to be terrible. And so I've been on the side where, like, I've been on the side where teams don't let up and just murder you, just mercilessly kill you. And then I've also been, like, where they go station to station because they don't want to beat you too bad. And that's worse.
Exactly.
Like, watching a team let up on you is worse than them just going full throttle. So yeah, man, I don't hold back. Just score 13, score 20 goals. I don't care. Just don't hold back, please.
Pumped for the game against Sweden. Mm-hmm. It's a big one for the group. I hope there's lots of goals and celebrations. Sense of the rivalry is so intense.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody mark this down. I think this is the first time we've ever all agreed on the same thing.
No, it's not.
Okay. Why you got to take this from me, Dusty? we're like 3 minutes in and you're already, okay.
I missed a week.
I like how he immediately disagrees with you. He's like, we finally agreed about something. No, we didn't.
I don't want Steve to have his moment.
I fully expect that from you. That's exactly what I wouldn't want you to change yourself for me. So that's exactly what I expect from you. Did you get anything cool for Father's Day?
I got the house to myself. I played Spider-Man on PS4 for roughly 5 hours, which was dope. And then I got a handmade card that says, "Daddy, we just wanted to say," I got it in front of me, "high five to the best daddy ever." And it's got my son's little handprints that spring out.
Aww.
Yeah, it's adorable. And my daughter painted a little something underneath. So that is what I got. I honestly don't care too much about most holidays. So Father's Day is cool. I like that I got the house to myself, but I don't, it doesn't move the needle for me one way or the other. But getting a card and getting to play some video games was awesome. So big, big fan. What about you?
I do have to do a very, very humble brag, and my wife gives me the best present of all time, I think, for Father's Day, because, you know, we've got two kids at home, mm-hmm. and I am given a night at a hotel by myself.
Ooh.
So I am allowed to, you know, go out and get some dinner. Like, every time I'll go out and find a place to go get wings, I can bring my PS4 with me so I can hook it up to the TV. And then I can have a couple of beers, play some games, and have an entire night to myself.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So very, very – she doesn't listen to the podcast, but she may be overhearing me through the door right now. So, you know. Giving that to her as well. And then she also got me a bottle of rye whiskey, which has been pretty outstanding. Nice. So overall, very, very talented.
That's amazing.
The wife delivered very well on Father's Day. All right. I think we're all officially caught up.
Mm-hmm.
Let's jump into some Packers news. There's not a lot going on right now. So we're going to create some content for everybody and have some fun with it. But we did want to talk about how the Packers did claim tight end Michael Roberts from Detroit, if I believe is correctly, because his failed physical from the trade to the Patriots did not go through. So then he was going to be released and then was claimed by the Packers and now has failed his physical with the Packers. So let's jump right in because I just kind of want to get your immediate reactions. I've got comments. I'll save them till the end. But Sarah, what are you thinking about them grabbing yet another tight end off waivers?
It concerns me a little bit because obviously there's a lot of uncertainty with the tight end group right now. I think that they're bringing in guys, testing it out, seeing how it's going. This move was a little unusual to me, especially because he just failed the physical like a week ago, and then they brought him in to do a physical just days later and failed it again. But I just think that the timing of that is really weird. Why do the physical when you know he just failed one? It was almost like they didn't even give him a chance to improve or get better. We don't know what the issue was, but it just seems a little weird. I feel like they might pick up, like, what are they going to do now? They claimed him in waivers, then he didn't pass the physical, so now he's not there anymore. So who are they going to bring someone else in? Are they just like, whatever, we're sticking with what we've got now and going to work with it? This is really weird. And we've talked about the tight end group for a few weeks in a row now. It's yeah. come up. There's been a lot of just like question marks and uncertainty. And I really don't know where it's going and what they're trying to do with it. I think it's a little concerning, but hopefully we can figure it out.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, yeah, we've talked about the tight end. I feel like every week for the past 2 months, the tight end group has come up. And it is odd. I mean, if you look at that group, this is the strangest thing about it to me that I feel like we brought up before. But, hey, let's talk about it again. You know, they've got Jimmy Graham, who I assume, you know, it's a 3-year deal, but they have an out after this year. If they were going to drop him, they were going to drop him before, what was it, like March 1st or whatever, when they owed him the $9 million. The fact that they decided to carry him through there, now it could be just they want to see what shakes, they want to see how he does, and they can still drop him and they're out that $9 million, but whatever. But I have to assume, since they picked that up, he's on the team this year. They signed Mercedes Lewis, who has a history with Hackett, which that's just a 1-year deal. That tells me that Lewis is going to be there this year as well. They could drop him without, you know, without a whole lot of stuff, but I don't see them signing a 1-year guy that has a history with the offensive coordinator just to drop him. And the fourth guy is, you know, Sternberger, who they just signed, the 3rd-round pick, which leaves Tanyan. And I mean, on top of that, so they're not going to carry 5 tight ends. They're just not going to carry 5 tight ends, which kind of leaves, so then you got 2 different things. Is Tanyan not progressing like they thought? And they're looking to kind of upgrade that position, which I hope is not the case. I think he shows a lot of promise and he's going into his 2nd year. And the other thing is just, man, this could just be camp body trying out a guy for depth thing. Not, you know, maybe someone trying to sneak out of the practice squad or just seeing if someone does either to push him or maybe you get someone that you know, pushes Tanyan and maybe outperforms and you think, okay, this is the guy, we're going to sign him. But it could just be kind of a scouting, we're going to get this guy, he's going to be in camp, he's not going to make the 53, but now we've got another name that we can call if we need to, or maybe we can sneak him on practice squad. It is odd that so much is going into the tight end position when it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of flexibility there. Like, to me, there's 3 of the 4 names are set, and even the 4th name, like, I think is kind of set too. So I honestly don't know what to make of it. I mean, Roberts is a guy who has showed promise, in college. So like, I get it. Like, maybe you catch lightning in a bottle. Maybe you catch that spark there. It is odd that they're looking so much at the tight end position, but I have zero idea what to make of it. I think just camp body is just my initial reaction.
So I want to check with you, Dusty, because you have been focusing on LaFleur's offense pretty much all off season, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
He loves tight ends.
Correct.
That is where my head goes immediately, is he wants as many playmakers. He wants as many people, like you said, camp bodies, but he still wants people there. And he caught, I think he only caught 9 balls last year, but he caught 3 of them for touchdowns.
Yeah. I mean, the touchdown thing, I've seen that bandied about, but touchdowns are super hard to predict year to year. This is a very, very long time ago. Mercedes Lewis once caught 10 touchdowns in a year on like very little things. And it was, oh, he's a touchdown machine. No, it was a fluke year. So it's to me, like, the catches, and honestly, his catch rate for a tight end, his catch rate over 2 years, kind of super small sample size, 48%. That's ridiculously terrible for a tight end. And I've not watched enough Roberts to know if that's off target stuff. It's Stafford.
Is Tanya at like 150 or something?
Tanya's at 66, but he only has he had six targets. Six targets in 1 year. And Roberts had 27 targets, but only caught 13 of those. So, I mean, the thing you miss with catch rate is how many of those were maybe throwaways where he was targeted? What are the drops? I don't have the drop rates on
Matthew
him. So
Stafford's throwing you ball instead of
Stafford was just like, how many of those was he trying to target me through 10 feet over his head?
So.
Yeah, that's a good point, Sarah. That's a really good point. So it's tough. Right. It's tough to know. It could just be, I mean, he does like tight ends, but listen, man, he's not carrying five tight ends. No matter how much he loves them, he's not carrying five tight ends.
We shall see.
We shall see.
I'm a little torn right now. I don't know if you guys have been on Twitter, but there is some breaking Bucks news, and I don't know how we handle that. Is that something I can just kind of throw out there? Just like, we don't need reactions, but I do want to talk about it.
Do it, brother. What's happening?
The Bucks are trading Tony Snell and the 30th pick to the Pistons for John Lewis. And if you remember him, he's a guy from Marquette. And so it'll be interesting to see if they keep him, if they just buy him out or whatever. But it looks like they're trying to create a little cap space. So
yeah, I know they've been breaking while we're recording.
Yeah. Breaking while we're recording. So I just kind of want to throw that out there anyway, because it's just something to talk about.
Sure.
So since it is the middle of June and we have literally nothing to talk about, I came up with a question because of the whole Brett Favre Instagram post of how he was coming back in 2020 to the NFL and then he was hacked, everything like that. So it kind of it started making me percolate in my mind. And I proposed a question to you guys, and I think it's just going to be a lot of fun because – you know, Dusty and I are in different eras of Packer players that we remember. And so my thought was, if you could bring a Packers player back to this team right now, you know, while they're in their prime, minus, you know, Reggie or Sterling Sharp or Brett Favre or, you know, the all-time greats, like, you know, Bart Starr or even Charles Woodson, like, you know, dig a little bit deeper into some of the Packers players and people you guys would want to see playing with the Packers again. You know, I want to know who are those players, because I've got a couple in my head and I know Dusty's got a couple and Sarah's got a couple of people that are drafted like 3 years ago. See, this is what we missed this. When I was hosting with Sarah, like we couldn't have these digs because we were just being nice to each other. But now
and then if we were, like, if we did dig at each other, it would have just been really awkward because, like, no one would have laughed. Like, usually if we make fun of each other, like, the third person is like, oh, yeah, and, like, kind of, like, plays it off.
Exactly.
But
you would have been silent and except
just,
Dusty.
Just mean to someone's face. Just straight up mean to someone's face.
Exactly. And there's the awkward pause for the listeners, and they're just like, wow.
Nah.
That's really mean. Like...
So you guys, let's get you started because I can actually hear my daughter knocking on the door, so I need to text my wife to come get her. So I want you guys to start in. Dusty, I know you got a couple of people you were thinking about, so why don't you go ahead?
I do, yeah. So I'm gonna go through my thought process here of a couple guys I was kind of looking at before I settle on my main guy. So, you know, I was born in 80, so I, you know, I came up, you know, kind of started really paying attention kind of late 80s, early 90s. And so, you know, my Packers were like when they just started getting good. So I remember Mikowski, but really it's, you know, when Favre stepped up, that was, you know, really started. That was when it really kind of took off because they're on TV a little more. And I was living in Kentucky at the time. So you don't get a lot of Packers games at that point. I'm old and you didn't have DirecTV. So with that in mind, I kind of was looking at guys from that era. And also we didn't have constraints on to like, it had to be someone that would help a certain group. We didn't have constraints on that, those kinds of choices, but that's kind of where I was thinking as far as like, we're slotting them in here. I want someone who's going to help our team in a place that maybe we have a few question marks. So with that in mind, I kind of had, I like the wide receiving core. I know Steve said no all-time great, so this breaks that rule. So I did not pick him. This is where my mind went. I like our receiving core where it's at, but there are some question marks there. So I went way, way back and was like, well, what if we put Don Hutson on this team? Prime Don Hutson. prime speedster Don Hudson. It's tough to judge across eras, but if you look at Hudson's numbers, it's hard not to be impressed. And I have a Hudson jersey. So, but then I decided, nope, that's too tough to go that far back across that many eras.
So I gave you one rule, and your first decision was to break that rule. Okay.
Cool. You didn't give me the rule until I thought about it. You didn't give a whole lot of rules, too.
Dude, I put in Reggie. I put in Brett.
You gave two names. You gave two names. Anyway, I didn't pick him, Steve, so I'm not breaking your rule. Calm down. I'm also looking, you know, other holes. I'm looking next year after Bulaga is likely gone. The offensive line, especially the tackle position. So I looked at, like Chad Clifton. Like Chad Clifton would be nice. Okay. Kind of bring him back in. I was looking back at safeties. This is a part where we don't necessarily have a hole there now. I like the guys we have. So this is why I ultimately didn't go this direction. I was looking at Leroy Butler and even going back, you know, not quite as far as Nick Collins, just because those guys are different. And if you would ask me this last year, my answer is Butler or Collins. But just based on, and I'm not saying Savage and Amos are as good as those guys, clearly, because Butler, it's a travesty Leroy Butler is not in the Hall of Fame for a myriad of reasons. The safety position is underrepresented, I get that. But Butler needs to be in the Hall of Fame. I think Collins, if he had stayed playing, if he didn't get injured in 11, he is on a Hall of Fame trajectory. He's like, he was a both those guys are special. But I like the safety position where it's at. I kind of thought about going Travis Jervey, just because Travis Jervey was an absolute lunatic special teamer, who one time just pulled off his braces just because he didn't want them on anymore with a pair of pliers. That's the kind of special teamer you want. Like, just
that's a bad dude. That's
caution to the wind. Caution to the wind. But ultimately,
you got to tell the other story too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he roomed with LaShawn Johnson, who is a running back kick returner, and those guys bought a lion in Dallas for $900. And lived with that lion and named her Nala. So this is a special teamer who owned a lion, lived with a lion that he bought for $900 in Texas and ripped off his braces with a pair of pliers. The kind of special teamer I want. Everyone's like, oh, Jeff Junis was a great special teamer. Like, Travis Jervey would legitimately die for you.
And he named his lion after and the Lion King.
Or, Steve, did they name the Lion King after Travis Jervey's lion? I'm not going to look up the times to see how this worked, although I'm going to say probably the Lion King came first, but still, Steve, you can think about it. I'm not going to look these up. Ultimately, the guy settled on one of my all-time favorite Packers. Career cut short by injury, but in his prime, which was very, very short, was tremendous and fills their question marks in our cornerback position. That is Craig Newsome.
Oh, so cool.
I adored Craig Newsome. And if you go back and watch, and I've gone back and watched like that 96 season so many times, Craig Newsome was just tremendous. Just a lockdown corner, could do a little bit of everything. His the way he read things, like his instincts and also his first step, just everything about him, like Newsome was just incredible. I loved Craig Newsome. One of my all-time favorite players as a kid. And I like the cornerback position where it's at, but there are so many question marks there. I mean, you got Jair, who missed some time last year. You got, you know, King, who clearly can't stay on the field. You got Jackson, who I like, but people have questions about. You've got this kind of group that, if everything gels, could be very, very good. And you put Newsome in there as a guy, like a very close to lockdown guy in his prime on the outside. And that, I feel way better about that position. So I'm going, again, like a guy that I feel like a lot of people now don't really pay attention to too much, just because his career was so short. But when he was good, he was tremendous and a game changer. So I'm going Craig Newsome. If I could pick a guy right now to stick on this squad, I think Craig Newsome changes that defense.
I like it. I love all the, you know, everybody. Like, it's fun to relive some of the old glory Packer days. And Sarah's going to give us some of like the 2010 to 2012 Packers that she loved. But it's a lot of fun. Like, for us older guys, it's so much fun to be able to go kind of look back. And I've got a couple of guys I want to hint on as well. But Sarah, like, hit us up with some of your early, like, 10-year-old Packer dreams.
Okay. Well, one of the first vivid moments I had where I was very excited about someone was back in the day when Eddie Lacy was drafted. And that was a big deal. It filled a need that we needed then. And he honestly was a baller in his prime. He was exactly what the Packers needed. Rookie season, he made Pro Bowl, was second team All Pro. And despite like his size issues that then arose in seasons after, he was also really good at short passes and getting a lot of yards off plays that didn't seem like they were really anything. And he was really exciting when I was younger and first starting to watch the team and understanding a little more about the sport in general. He was someone that was fun to watch. There was always times where you're like, oh, he's down, and then he would get five more yards. And that would, I mean, Aaron Jones is great, but he doesn't have that like bulldozer ability that I think we saw in Eddie Lacy. So not necessarily something that a player that would fill a need, because I think we have the running back that we need right now, but just a player that would be fun to bring back in their prime on this team right now. That's someone who came to mind.
Yeah, I feel like Lacy gets lost in the jokes because he got big and then he went to Seattle and he didn't do great because that line sucked. But man, you, I mean, you brought him up. We were talking about this before the show. You brought him up, and yeah, I mean, his, like, Lacy for those 2 or 3 years was, and it was really, it wasn't his weight, it was the ankle. Like, he was incredible. Just so much fun to watch and just so hard to bring down and so nimble. Like, just great feet. Big, big fan of that. That would be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, he was great. It was, he just lacked the explosive burst to finish off. You know, like, he would break off a 30, 40, 50-yard run, and all of a sudden you could tell he's, like, gassed and he's looking for somebody to tackle him.
But he had, like, burst through the hole and enough speed to, like, some damage in the open field.
But he was very talented. I loved having him on the team. Like, but you could tell, like, when he got to the 50-yard mark, he was like, okay, somebody tackle me because I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, I'm done. He kept looking back, like, is somebody going to get me? Can I keep going? Like, oh, okay.
But he was, like, he was a guy that could legit, like, he was a threat to rip off a 20 to 30-yard run. Anytime he touched the ball, and also a guy that you could like have bulldoze ahead from the 1 yard line without having a coon dive. Like, he was versatile enough. He wasn't going to rip off an 80 yard run, but like he could do either of those things.
The nimble aspect is the thing you said that definitely he was a big dude, but he had spin movability. He could make people miss. Like he could get the ball, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my god, like he's gone.
Yeah,
like 15, 20, 30 yards, like. He had the ability to rip those off, and that's something, you know, Aaron Jones has the ability. I don't think Jamal Williams has that ability. No. So yeah, it's definitely lacking a little bit, and I think that's a good pick.
Yeah.
I loved when I was growing up, there's a couple of defenders that I loved, and then I'm gonna get into one guy offensively I think could really make the Packers offense fly. But for me, the two guys that I used to love, especially when the Packers sucked, was Tim Harris and Chuck Cecil.
Yes.
And I know Chuck Cecil wasn't the best in the world, and I don't think adding him to the safety position would help anything right now. But, man, the guy that has, like, bloodied noses all the time and, like, puts Band-Aids over them and then hits another dude so hard that it breaks open and keeps bleeding, like, that's a – oh, man. That was like the childhood. I wanted to be Chuck Cecil. Like, I wanted to hit everybody as hard as humanly possible.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Even when we were playing tag football, that's what we were doing.
Do you ever talk to anyone about that? Do you ever have to just get those feelings out somewhere? So is this your first time sharing this, Steve?
Right now. He's doing that right now.
Should we do something, Sarah? Do we need to, like, kind of talk him through some of this stuff?
I'm somewhat realizing that maybe this isn't the right place to talk about this.
I think it's fine, Steve. I think it's fine.
No, so Chuck Cecil, I always loved the hard-hitting safety, even if, you know, not the best in coverage maybe. But he was always a hard-hitting safety. And then Tim Harris, you know, outside linebacker, like the guy. Right now you probably don't need him, but for me, if I'm bringing people back and you're not bringing back like all-time greats, like that, for me that was one of the fun guys. Like, I always remembered him because the Packers sucked, but he was one of the guys who – actually could get to the quarterback a couple times and do those things. So those are the two guys that I really, really loved when I was a kid, outside, you know, Reggie White, Brett Favre, all that kind of good stuff. But I would say if I'm going to bring somebody back, I'm kind of going a little bit more along the lines of Sarah, and I want to bring back Dorsey Levins.
Ooh, man, Dorsey.
Yeah. I mean, he had the ability to run the ball. He had the ability to catch the ball. And I know Aaron Jones is great, but right now with LaFleur, the way that he's going with an offense, he wants multiple running backs. He wants guys that can catch the ball. He wants guys that can run the ball. Like, I just think that would be an amazing fit. You put him with you know, Williams, you put him with Aaron Jones, like all of a sudden, like you've got a just touted backfield, and that's all that does is help Aaron Rodgers throw the ball.
Yeah, and I've talked about this before, but when I look at offense, I look at it through the lens of what you can do when you go no huddle with the package you have out there. If you have the ability to, how many different things you could do, how many different things the defense has to account for, because the more they have to account for, the more you can kind of catch them out of position or play the mismatches. And like Aaron Jones and Dorsey Levens, you could legit just run the ball, or you could just spread it five wide with both of those guys, because both those guys are legit like running and receiving threats. Lethal combo. That'd be incredible.
Holy crap. Did Dusty give me another compliment? I think that's like a Dusty compliment.
I missed a week. Wow. I'm sorry, guys. Okay. Well, I'm trying to get better.
Okay. So, all right. We've covered fictional old Packers coming in. Now we need to tackle like the serious issues right now, because the team, last week we talked about team building, because right before we recorded this, we found out that they were doing team building. And Sarah's only request is that they not do paintball.
That was tremendous. That was tremendous.
What did they do? They went and played paintball.
You know, as soon as it came out of my mouth, in the back of my mind, I was like, they're going to go paintballing. And I just, when I went on Twitter and I saw that, I was just not even surprised. I just shook my head and I was like, they really did do it. Like, I just can't believe it. I mean, it looked cool, whatever, but it's so basic. Like, I could have guessed that. I did guess that. I was like, they should not go paintballing. It's what everyone does.
I was a big fan of your idea of karaoke. So, like full-fledged, like, dressed to the nines karaoke. Big fan of that idea.
Okay, but she wasn't suggesting karaoke. She was suggesting lip-sync battle.
Either way. Either way.
That's not the same thing.
I go to bat for either one.
It's like the same premise.
I think I'd go karaoke over lip sync, but either one, if they get all dressed up, I'd be down for. But, I mean, Rodgers and Flannel look kind of nice.
Okay, so we have now officially entered. Who shot Aaron Rodgers? Mm. Because there are pictures circulating with Aaron Rodgers on his mask, and he has a big-ass yellow paintball in the middle of his mask. So somebody was shooting Aaron Rodgers in the middle of the eyes. And guys, I need to know who did it. So my spies, my little detectives, please tell me who the hell shot Aaron Rodgers and why the hell are they shooting his head?
I'll go first. I think one of my first guesses was Kaiser, because, you know, backup quarterback, he wants that job. I quickly nixed that. Because Kaiser played a little bit week one last year against the Bears, and Khalil Mack like murdered his face, and I don't think he wants that action again. Not this early,
as well, I believe.
Yeah. Things happen. Terrible things happen, and they're doing that again in Chicago this week. And I don't think Kaiser wants that action week one in Chicago. The same thing that happened last year. So I'm ruling Kaiser out. I think the only answer, it's Matt LaFleur. It's clearly Matt LaFleur, because listen, Rodgers like, I don't like audibles. I think Matt LaFleur is dumb. I think his system's dumb. Like all the stuff that he said that he clearly said when he was saying something else that he meant. And LaFleur was like, fine, this jackass, he thinks he's better than me. I'm the hotshot coach. I'm going to shoot him in the face and I'll show him what's what. I'll tell him it's my system, not your audibles, jackass. And then he shot him in the face, but he didn't tell him he shot him in the face. It was like afterwards he kind of gave him a little nod just so he knew it was him. Just so he knew. And he was sitting in that cart, right?
Gave him a nod to establish his dominance.
Yeah. Yeah. He was like, just so he knows that I know that he knows.
It was like I'm the alpha.
Well, and he's sitting in that cart and they're like all laughing and stuff. There's that shot of them in the cart and he's like, ha, and they're laughing. LaFleur like paid someone, like friggin' the guy who played Hodor, right? And he's like on his back with a paintball gun, just traipsed into the forest with paint on his face. And he's like, I'll show this guy. This guy thinks he's better than me. He's not better than me. I'm better than him. So it's Matt LaFleur.
Oh, I can totally see it. And he was messing with everybody so much that he actually like got out of the cart and snuck around. And it was like a close attack. It was like point blank where he just,
yeah,
all of a sudden pulled right around, and Aaron Rodgers is like, oh my God, boom.
I mean, Steve, listen, I don't want to say anything that's not true. I don't want to speculate on anything, Well, this is what I'm saying is what I'm saying is clearly truth.
This makes so much sense.
Matt LaFleur never tore his ACL. He was faking it just to sneak up on Rodgers.
Because he really tore his Achilles.
He never tore his Achilles. He never tore any of his muscles. Never tore any of them. Because he's been waiting for this moment. He's been faking it just to shoot Aaron Rodgers in the face. Just to shoot him in the face. But I still think the Hodor thing makes sense.
Sarah for the win. Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, so basically your theory is that LaFleur went all Kaiser Soze.
Yeah.
Okay.
Either that or paid a man to ride on his back. Either way, it was LaFleur. I don't know. I don't care how he did it. It's either
that
way.
Doesn't sound good, so we'll go with the Kaiser Soze aspect of it.
Either way.
Now we need to dive in. Sarah, do you know who Kaiser Soze is?
Oh, that's a good question.
Oh,
no.
Oh, God.
I don't know what to do, Steve. I don't know what to do.
Can we just cut her out? I mean, like, I feel like it almost needs
to be. We can, but I feel like if Sarah's not here, me and you will kill each other within 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, it's bickering. It's bickering nonstop. Yeah. However, I do have to do a funny story. So most people listening to this podcast will now know that what I just referred to is The Usual Suspects, the movie. And so one of the first dates I ever had with my wife was we were watching some movies and stuff. We were living in Korea at the time. We were both teaching English. And I wanted her to watch The Usual Suspects because it's one of my favorite movies.
Okay.
She fell asleep in the middle of it. And so I knew she fell asleep. I was watching her. Like, I saw that she fell asleep. So at the end of the movie, she kind of like perked up. Was like, oh, that was a really good movie. And I looked at her, and I'm like, oh, okay. Who's Kaiser Soze? And she looks at me, and she just goes, he doesn't exist.
I was like, that's a good guess.
Oh, my God.
That's great.
Like, she was so committed to it that she just lied through her teeth through the whole damn thing because we were so early on that she didn't want to disappoint. Like, okay.
That's amazing.
Sarah, you officially have homework. You have to go watch the movie. The Usual Suspects.
Just read about it on Wikipedia and watch some highlights.
That's fine.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Great movie. She needs to watch it.
That's fine, Steve. That's fine.
Ugh. You suck.
That's fine. That's also fine.
So, are you agreeing, Steve, with Dusty about who shot Aaron?
Oh, no. I have my own theory. You just need to fill us in on your theory.
Okay. My theory is simple. Dusty got complicated and had a whole big theory of who he thought did it.
Shocking. The movie, the murder mystery man has a complicated
it's
theory
not,
on who shot
it's
it.
It's not who I think did it, Sarah. It's who I know did it. That's what you're,
okay,
that's what you're missing.
Okay, well, I know who did it.
Okay.
So one of us has to be wrong, and I think my answer is correct. The correct answer is that Greg Jennings was hiding at the paintball facility, and he did it. This is the simple answer.
Yeah.
Did not need to think too much into this. Who doesn't like Aaron Rodgers? Greg Jennings. Who tried to publicly multiple times humiliate him, and he failed every time. Everyone was like, shut up. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. But now he's laying low. Haven't heard about him since the whole incident. When he was at the Bucks game and Aaron Rodgers was at the Bucks game, he's been quiet. So he's like, you know, I got to get my dig in there somehow. I'm going to lay low. I'm going to show up at this team bonding event. Boom. He did it. He's the culprit.
I like it.
Are you saying Greg Jennings has literally been laying in the grass at that paintball course for weeks now?
He knew. He got an insider tip that the same insider tip that comes out that says Rodgers is a bad leader in the locker room. It's that same one told him. And so he went to the front desk at the paintball facility and was like, yeah, I used to play for the Packers. Like, I'm with the team. And they were like, oh, okay. Yeah. And then he went, suited up, and got Rodgers. That's my theory.
That's, I got to hand it to you, man. I think that's better. I like my LaFleur theory. I think yours is better.
I now need to go look at the picture because the only way that theory makes sense to me is if he took all of his paintballs and he wrote the number 85 on them
in
Sharpie. So I need to go and look and see if there's a little bit of black in that yellow.
It was a yellow paintball. And I kind of feel like Greg Jennings would have shot a purple paintball on purpose. You know? I don't think he would have gone back. I don't think he would have gone back green and gold.
Purple and yellow. But
that's the whole point. He's trying to lay low. He wants you to think it was someone that's there, but it was him.
If the next Greg Jennings interview is like, listen, man, I just don't think he's a good leader because he got shot in the face at paintball, then we'll know. Then we'll know for sure that it was Greg Jennings. Which is coming tomorrow. Like, by the time you listen to this podcast, there will be an interview with Greg Jennings where he says that Roger's not a good leader because he got shot.
Okay, speaking of...
Fox Sports 1, I'm guessing?
Okay, yes. Well, I mean, Fox Sports 5. It's Greg Jennings.
Speaking of people being fooled by, like, funny things on social media and then reporting on it, I don't know if anyone saw this today. But if you didn't, please look it up. If you're an NBA fan, this is very important. There's this one parody account on Twitter. I forgot his name. I believe it is Barry. And he tweets just very dumb things about sports. And he's very interesting. Anyways, he tweeted this whole fake ESPN sources tell me that Chris Paul and James Harden with their whole bickering issues that are going on right now. He said that they got in a fight last year around this time because Chris Paul said that James Harden had man boobs and that he got really upset about it, and he like did like a fake tweet and was like, ESPN sources tell us that like they got into a fight about their man boobs, and he tweeted it like really early this morning. And then Skip Bayless went on his show and said, I saw an ESPN report this morning that they got into an argument over each other's man boobs, and legitimately believed this fake tweet. Please go look if you have not seen this, because the thread...
We can't really say Barry's last name.
I don't even know what it is. So.
Yeah, well, you look at the story, you'll realize why I can't
say it. Wait, is that the Sports Talk Barry, the guy who's like a violent racist?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Who puts out all sorts of just random ass crap.
Yes, yeah. And he tweeted the fake ESPN thing. And like I said, he's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Skip and then believed it and talked about it on television. Yeah.
I mean, what part of this is shocking to you, Sarah?
I don't know.
He's a moron. He's an absolute moron who doesn't... Yeah.
That's amazing.
Okay,
that's
am amazing. I allowed Kudos. To tell my theory about who shot Aaron Rodgers?
We're running long, Steve. I don't know. Go ahead.
You guys are very fill in the blanks.
Me and Sarah got ours very, very good. So I'm curious as to who you got.
So, you know, you guys have told me who you guys think it is. As much as I hate to say it, I think it was Andy Herman.
To get Boyle in?
Exactly.
I thought I was going Kaiser. I didn't dig that deep, Steve.
You gotta think deeper, man. I mean, Andy's all around the team. He's always at the practices. He knows what's going on. So you know he probably had a heads up that they were going to go do some paintballing.
Do we know what Andy was doing during that time?
I don't know what Andy was doing.
Does he have an alibi?
Well, you know, I leave that to you, detectives. But I mean, this theory just completely makes sense to me because, you know, he's always about Boyle season. He wants Tanya in there. Like, I mean, it wouldn't have shocked me if there was a ricochet off of it that hit Jimmy Graham at the same time. All of a sudden, Tanya's running as number one.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that holds a little more water if Andy then frames Graham and Lewis for doing it. Like, to really make sure that he gets in. Because that's only because he's still got to take out Kaiser, which, Andy's a planner.
You're going too far.
Andy's a planner. You ruined it. So, like, he's taking someone else out, right?
No, you ruined it. It was all about Boyle. It was all about getting Boyle in there. You know, once Boyle's in there, then the connection with Tanyan will immediately take a parent. And, you know, it's just the way it goes. But... No, you just had to completely ruin it by training other people.
This is my question, though. Is Boyle the number two? Is Boyle beating out Kaiser?
I don't think so.
Then you got to deal with Kaiser. Which Andy will kneecap him. Like, you know, Andy. That's fine if it's Kaiser. Like, Andy doesn't care. That's fine.
Honestly, he'll just take, like, a BMX bike and take him out. I mean, it'll be during training camp. Like, oh, my God, I don't know what happened. I just ran over to show Kaiser.
Just Andy on the front page of Journal Sentinel just shrugging.
You know, Kaiser on the ground, blood everywhere, a BMX bike on top of him. I could totally see it happening.
He's
paving the way for Boyle to be the number one, and I'm all about it. I mean, outside of the fact that I love Aaron Rodgers and I think that they need him to win the Super Bowl. But besides that part, take that aside, like that, it's fun.
I like it. It's a solid theory, Steve.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you thought I would bring nothing to the table, Dusty.
Ah, it's on me. You did. It's one time, and what have we been doing this for? How long have we been doing this, Steve? Long time.
A couple months, at least.
Not a great ratio.
All right, guys. Missed you guys. It's been a lot of fun. I think we've all enjoyed the bringing the Dream Team back together again. Dusty has brought the jackassery all the way to the top level, which we appreciate.
And, I promised.
You did. You did. You promised and you delivered, and I think we all had a good time doing it. So we will be back next week. We will be – oh, there's some stuff. We actually have some off-season things that we're going to start talking about. So
yay.
We have some homework to do, guys.
We do.
Outside of Sarah watching The Usual Suspects, which next week we will do a – we're actually going to do a report.
Okay, well, it might have to be the next week because after next week, then I'm pretty much done with my class, so I'll have time.
You told us if you get the A grade from this project that you don't have to take your final.
Yes, but that's next Thursday that I present the project.
Yeah, we'll give her a little leeway. We'll give her a couple weeks too. I'm willing to give her a couple weeks.
It's like an hour and 45 minutes out of a week.
Do you remember school? School sucks, Steve. You remember finals week? It's garbage.
Yes, I remember school. Garbage. I got drunk all the time during finals week.
And look at you now.
I'm doing fine, Dusty, jerk.
I mean, I dropped out, so I got zero room to talk.
There we go. Okay, so apparently 2 weeks for Sarah to do The Usual Suspects homework. But we will be talking some off-season stuff. I believe it is talking about some of the Packers' opponents and some of their higher-grade wide receivers, quarterbacks, all that kind of stuff. We'll be breaking it all down through the Pack-A-Day podcast. So keep tuning in. I know it's the off season, but there's a lot of good stuff coming out every day from us. So Dusty, Sarah, it's been a lot of fun. We will catch you guys next week. Do you want to say goodbye or are you just going to be silent? Is that cool? Okay, cool.
Bye.
We'll move on.
You guys.
I gave you guys a hand gesture, but nobody's watching. That's cool.
Oh no, that my movie was finishing up.
Oh, good God. All the rage is all back. It's already back, Dusty. Like, it's already back.
I was listening. I'm listening to you. My ear's here.
I'm glad that we have, like, 70% of your attention. That's really, really nice of you. And that's probably generous.
More than.
Yeah, okay. Well, we will catch you guys next week. Make sure to follow Sarah at SarahKelleher4. I don't care what Dusty does. Yeah, what add Dusty, whatever.
Say it.
No, I can't.
You don't know how to say it. It's fine.
I do too know how to say your last name. It's at Dusty Evely.
There you go.
At Steve Perriach, at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Make sure to follow all of us. We love interacting with you guys, so please feel free to hit us up on Twitter. So we will catch you guys next week. And as always, go Pack, go.
First and 10 from the 17 to San Francisco. Give Jones around the right end. Gets a block. Makes the turn. 10 to the 5. To the end zone. Second and 2, 6-yard line of Minnesota, tied at 7 apiece. Graham tight end right side of the line, 3 receivers punt to the left, Rodgers under center. It's motion to the right, here's the pitch, Jones around the left end. He's got Bakhtiari blocking in front, Jones makes the turn to the pylon, to the end zone for the touchdown. Second and short, get Jones, big hole, right side 20, 15, 10, to the end zone, touchdown! Takes the snap, delay, hands it off, Jones up the middle with a burst. There he is. 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, high stepping, end zone, touchdown. Packers aren't going anywhere today. They are here to play. 33-yard touchdown burst to match the number on the jersey of Aaron Jones. Oh my goodness, what a play. Jimmy Graham wide to the right side. 3 receivers bunched tight on the left. Aaron Jones on the left side of the quarterback. Aaron Rodgers in shotgun. Hand off Jones. Picks his way off the right side. Fights for the goal line. And did he get in? Yes, he did. Touchdown. single back offense behind Aaron Rodgers, who ducks in under center. From the 29 of Green Bay, and here's the handoff off the middle. Big hole, straight ahead. Here's Aaron Jones off to the races, to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, down the left sideline, and he's out of bounds. Inside the 10 of the 5-yard line of Miami. Aaron Jones with a first 67 yards.